You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
In light of the alleged terrorist attack on Friday on Christmas Day, many people had the same question. If this man was on a watch list somewhere, how did he get onto a plane with explosives? Well, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano answers that.
I think it's important for the public to know there are different types of databases, and there was simply throughout the law enforcement community never information that would put this individual on a no-fly list or a selectee list.
We're getting more details about what happened on Christmas Day, and here to give us more is Mickey Maynard. She's a senior business correspondent for the New York Times. One thing that many people are saying for sure, Mickey, is that the line on the security checkpoint at the airport is going to get longer.
Well, it's definitely true for flights leaving countries outside the United States and headed for the United States. But one of the things that the TSA, which is the security agency, said was that they want travel to be unpredictable. So you may see longer lines in the United States, or you may not. You may have security at the gate in the United States, or you may not. But for sure overseas, Celeste, it will be a tougher time to travel.
So what do we know about what might change on these international flights?
Well, you're going to undergo two sets of checks. Now, at many international airports, you already did that. I found international security to be much tougher than what we've had on domestic flights. But for sure, you'll undergo a bag search and a physical search at the security check-in. And then people were telling us yesterday that right outside the gates in places like Heathrow and Paris and Narita, they're setting up these new checkpoints where your carry-on will be thoroughly searched. People were telling us they're taking everything out of their carry-on bags, and then there'll be a pat-down. Then there are also security measures when you're sitting on the plane.
Wow, well, that's Mickey Maynard. She covers this story for our partner, the New York Times, and is talking about new security procedures in light of the alleged terrorist attack on or attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day. We're joined again by Paul Piller, visiting professor at Georgetown University and director of studies for the Security Studies Program there. Paul, let's talk a little bit more about this list that Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab was on. His father, as far as we know, called the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria, talked to them about concerns he had that his son was becoming an extremist and cutting ties with the family and flying to Yemen, and that it placed Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab on this tide list, which is a low concern list, as far as I know.
Well, it can be low concern, high concern. Basically, it's anything where there was any kind of tip, any kind of report, anything that brings someone's name to the fore. In this case, expression of parental concern. We have to realize we're dealing in hindsight here. And in retrospect, the tip from the father probably was no more of concern, nothing about it that caused it to stand out from the literally thousands of reports that come into the National Counterterrorism Center that causes people to be put on this tide list.
And that's pretty much what Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary, said.
When he presented himself to fly, he was on a tide list. What a tide list simply says is his name had come up somewhere, somehow. But the no-fly and selectee lists require that there be specific, what we call derogatory information, and that was not available throughout the law enforcement community.
So, Paul Piller of Georgetown University, what moves somebody off the tide list to what she's talking about, these no-fly or selectee lists? We've heard that he was on the list in Britain, and then he was going to Yemen. Does anything in his background say he should have been moved?
Well, what moves somebody off that list to something like a no-fly list is more information, corroborating information. You know, the analytic process that people in the intelligence community or Department of Homeland Security are doing every day is piecing together separate pieces of information. When you have something like a single parental tip, it's what we call single-threaded information. Once you have corroboration, more than one thing, then that's basically what causes you to sit up and take notice and leads to a further analysis, a further investigation, which might put you eventually on the 4,000 or so strong list that is actually the no-fly list.
Well, we've heard that Abdulmutallab was going to Yemen to get training, that he possibly was seeking training with Al-Qaeda operatives there. And this is in light of new reports recently over the past week or so of increased attacks against militant camps there and the large Al-Qaeda presence in Yemen. Is Yemen a place where we need to be really worried?
Certainly. The so-called Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which includes Saudis and Yemen, seems to have set up its headquarters there. Yemen is a very unstable country. Not only for that reason, they have an active rebellion in the north. They have an incipient secessionist movement in the south. And when we talk about unstable countries that are areas of concern, Yemen goes right to the top of the list. And we've already seen, or at least near the top of the list, and we've already seen specific U.S.-Yemeni cooperation with regard to the information sharing that led to these armed attacks against the militant sites that were reported within the last week or so.
Paul, let's ask about whether or not this system is broken. Is this particular indication a sign that the system is broken? Or, as we heard from White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, is this a sign that everything was working as it should because the terrorist attack was foiled?
Well, it's neither broken on the one hand or everything's operating as it should. Systems like this get tweaked all the time. Surely the Obama administration is going to tweak this system, which was set up during the previous administration. There are inherent limits in terms of what you can do, the main limit being the sheer volume of information, the reason you do have 500,000 entries on that TIDE list. So there will be tweaks, but I would not describe it as broken.
But Paul Piller of Georgetown University, we have had a lot of reports in recent days of this particular foiled attempt. We talked about the five Muslim men who left Virginia for Pakistan, which authorities seemed to be right on top of. Aren't these reports signs that the law enforcement community is doing its job?
The law enforcement community is doing their job, and all these reports are a reminder that we're always subject to threat or danger from individuals who become radicalized on their own. It's not just a matter of defeating one group.
Okay, Paul Piller is the Director of Studies for the Security Studies Program at Georgetown. Thank you so much, Paul.